The Financial Symphony. Helping you compose a more harmonious financial plan and getting your portfolio in tune. So sit back while we strike up the band. The Financial Symphony starts now.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the Financial Symphony. Thanks so much for joining us here today on the show. Mark Killian along with some fantastic people from Creative Financial Partners. Today we have Steve Decker and Rob Davis with us. And of course, Creative Financial Partners, they serve the northwestern Ohio area, and you can find them conveniently at their location in Perrysburg as well as Toledo. And if you'd like to reach out to the team at Creative Financial Partners, it's very easy to do so. All you got to do is pick up your phone and dial 800-373-9715. That's 800-373-9715. That's your number to get in touch with these fine gentlemen and get yourself on the calendar to come in for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation about your specific situation. And guys, we've got a great show today for the folks out there. A lot of good content to get into. So let's just dive right in and get started today, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's start off talking about beneficiary mistakes. It's the beginning of the new year, right? There's a good time to always think about the things that you want to dot the I's, cross the T's sort of stuff. And so I thought we'd talk about common mistakes that we see people make when it comes to beneficiaries and their accounts. And, for example, we'll just dive right in with naming minors as beneficiaries.
Yeah, this can be a costly mistake, and this is something that a lot of people just default to. So say, for example, my wife and I, we both have life insurance policies on each other. The easy answer to leave as our contingent beneficiary would be our daughter. And our daughter's 4. When someone inherits money and they're under 18, you run into a whole slew of problems with that, with a court system. And there's all sorts of things that you don't want to deal with. So you got to be real, real careful when you're naming minors as beneficiaries on your accounts. Typically, and you know, it varies from state to state. I realize we're in Ohio, but in Ohio, for example, if a minor is a beneficiary on account when they turn 18, the court system says that they're allowed to get all of that money. Now, if you have a large life insurance policy, I don't know about you, but I know that I don't want my 18-year-old inheriting a large chunk of money because I know what I would have done with that money when I was 18. And you're not real smart at that point. So you got to be careful with how you deal with the contingent beneficiaries.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing to bring up during the, you know, the beneficiary discussion is the trust thing, because, you know, people think you have to have all kinds of money or you have to be super wealthy to have a trust. But, you know, young parents can really benefit from a trust because, you know, the wills and trusts and that stuff, when it's done properly, can, number one, name a guardian for those minor kids. And even if you think, gosh, everyone knows who would take Morgan if something would happen to me, you know, it's good to have that stuff written down. It's good to have it official. And then the other thing is it provides, in the form of a trust for the child, the minor child, it provides them with someone that's in charge of their money, and it spells out how the money is supposed to be spent, what's it going to be spent for, you know, and when the child is going to be getting the money if there's anything left. So like Steve said, you know, you'd hate to have an 18-year-old who all of a sudden gets, you know, $2 million dropped into their pocket. You know, they'd give Justin Bieber a run for their money as far as stupid things they could do with it. So you know, that's an important thing.
Yeah, great advice there, and something certainly to think about, because as you said, I know a lot of folks may just assume that a trust is something only for the super wealthy, as you mentioned. And so good information to start off here on the Financial Symphony. And we're talking about beneficiary mistakes, and of course that's naming minors as beneficiaries. That's one. And guys, what about not coordinating your beneficiary designation and your will together?
Yeah, that's a big issue, and a lot of times people just assume, since they've done a will, that whatever it says in the will goes. And so if they, in their will, say, gosh, I'm going to leave everything to my brother Bob because I'm not married, for example, that might not be the case. You know, depending on who you have named as a beneficiary, you know, and beneficiaries are on life insurance contracts, they're on IRA accounts, they're on your 401k account, and those beneficiary designations typically override what's happening in your will. They kind of perform their own action outside of your will or your estate. So making sure the will, the trust, and the beneficiary designations are all kind of timed up and coordinated correctly is a huge thing. And that's something for our clients that we like to go through annually at minimum, as well as if there's any life changes. Somebody dies, somebody's born, divorce, marriage, that sort of thing.
A common misconception is that your beneficiary designation and your will are the same thing, and they're not. They're two completely different things. The way that I like to describe it to my clients is, if whatever goes to your will is something that doesn't have a place that's designated, and either through beneficiary designations or through transfer on death registrations, those go directly to an individual or an entity. Whatever does not have a place to go then defaults to your will. And if we're doing our job correctly as planners, we map all of these things out. Anything of major value in your life, definitely your assets and your insurance, but you can also add a transfer and death designation in most counties on your house. You can go to the BMV and add it to your cars. So anything of major, major value, you can give it a place to go. So ideally, nothing defaults to your will.
Yeah, so if I'm understanding you guys right, for example, then if you have your first spouse on your designation for your beneficiary and you've gotten remarried and in your will you have your current spouse, the first one's going to rule that over, correct?
Yeah, potentially. At minimum, it's going to be a big mess that you're not going to want anyone, your current or your former spouse, getting into. So,
right.
Yeah, at minimum, it's a big mess, and so you definitely need to take the time and do it right.
Make sure that they are working in conjunction, as you said. Well, great advice again as well from the guys here, from Steve Decker and Rob Davis of Creative Financial Partners. You're listening to the Financial Symphony, and if you'd like to reach out to the team, if you're anywhere in the northwestern Ohio area, you can just give them a call, 800-373-9715. That's your number to call, 800-373-9715. And we're talking about beneficiary mistakes. And what about this one, guys? Not naming an alternative or a successor beneficiary.
The common example here is if, unfortunately, if you and your wife were to pass away at the same time, we're assuming that you're the beneficiaries on each other. What happens to that money if you don't have anyone named a successor beneficiary after the primary? So this is something that we really, as Rob mentioned, in every review that we have with our clients, I always say, I know I probably already know the answer to this question, but let's just hear me out and let's walk through your beneficiaries on all your different accounts again and make sure that everything's still correct. Because you may think it is, but once you get into the retirement years, a lot of times once you have yourself set up, maybe you want to start looking at doing something for your grandkids, or maybe you want to start doing some annual gifting once you make sure that you and your wife are taken care of. And this is something that we cover, on our six-month review or an annual review. Even though we know the answers to the questions, we still ask them anyway.
Yeah, and it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind thing, because a lot of folks have stuff that they know they might have a life insurance policy, or they know they might have an IRA account or an old 401k or something like that, and they kind of forget the beneficiary designation thing. And as you go on and you go on with your life, these things just don't get changed. I've seen it happen. It happens pretty regularly. Things aren't going to the places they're supposed to go, and it's just a function of out of sight, out of mind. You forgot to do it. After you die, you can't make any changes then, so you have to do it, and now's a good time to pull those things out, start looking at them, and if you need help, we can certainly help you along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Procrastination always gets the better of most of us, I think, a few times in our life, that's for sure. And it's one of those things that it just takes a few minutes to go ahead and take some action on and get these corrected and make sure you're going the right direction. And you can do so, and if you need some help, you can do so by reaching out to the guys at 800-373-9715. And finally, guys, on the beneficiary mistakes, what about naming your estate as a beneficiary? I'm sure there's definitely some confusion in there.
Yeah, so naming your estate as a beneficiary is something that happens more often than you'd like to know, and it's not usually because someone's writing estate of, my estate on their beneficiary forms. Typically, if you don't fill out your beneficiary form when you enroll in your 401k at work, or you walk into the bank to open an account up, or you have an IRA that you opened online somewhere, if you don't list a beneficiary, it's usually automatically your estate. The problem with that is, everything in your estate will at some point go through probate, which is typically a big, long, expensive process. It's not what you want for your beneficiaries. It's not what you want for your family. It's not what you want to have them deal with. And so it's really important to make sure you have the beneficiary's name properly on all your stuff. And know that if you didn't name a beneficiary, it's probably not automatically going to go to the right person. It's probably automatically going to go to your estate, and that can be a mess. The other thing, when you are running things through your estate or through probate, that is all typically public record. And so anybody that's nosy, or neighbors or family members or your cousin Joe from Indiana who wonders how much money that you have, can always go through that estate stuff, go through the probate documents, and for ease of getting things to where they need to go and privacy, you do not want things going through your estate.
The one thing that I'll say happens, not often, but every now and again, where you think you've done everything correctly and you've made all your beneficiaries exactly how you want them, and then there's that one little old life insurance policy that you forgot that maybe had your parents as beneficiary on there. Therefore, then you have to open up a probate estate for one little piece that you forgot there. So I encourage you, when you're doing your estate planning and when you're going through all of your different policies and accounts, make sure you get everything, because the last thing you want to have is you did everything right and then there's this one little thorn in there that you have to open up a whole probate estate for.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of little pieces. You want to make sure that you have them all working together, all the moving parts working together. And guys, if folks are sitting out there listening and they're like, you know, I've got some of these things I need to address and need to take care of, and they want to reach out to you at 800-373-9715. What can they expect when they come in and talk with the team at Creative Financial Partners?
Yeah, you know, what you can expect from us is probably a little bit different than you can expect from, you know, most financial services firms and a lot of the folks that are on the radio. We are really trying to promote, and we have developed a client-first atmosphere here. You're not going to feel pressured to buy anything. You're not going to feel like you have to sign all your money over. We're not going to ask you for a commitment. When you come in for a meeting, it's a very informal situation. You come in, we talk to each other for a while, we ask a bunch of questions. There's usually something on your mind, at least that one thing that you want to make sure you get in front of someone who knows something about this stuff and ask them so we can talk about those things. But the meeting is really just a way for us to determine if we can work together, and if there's value there, we'll move forward. If there's not, you'll walk out of here. You'll have some new ideas. You'll have something to ask your advisor. You'll have something to bring to your attorney. We promise it'll be worth your time. We promise it won't be a sales pitch, and we're not going to try to sell you something.
All right, folks. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to take some action. Go ahead and pick up the phone and give them a call. 800-373-9715. That's 800-373-9715. This is a great opportunity and a great time to just make sure that you're on the right track towards retirement. So let's get your financial house in order with the team from Creative Financial Partners. 800-373-9715. It's 800-373-9715. Come in, sit down, and get that comprehensive financial review. Absolutely complimentary, no obligation. 800-373-9715. Okay, stick around, folks. The guys are going to stick around, and when we come back here in just a few moments, we're going to take some questions from around the area on the request line.
It's remarkable sometimes the emotions and feelings music brings to our daily lives. It was there for graduation, on our wedding day, and sometimes even resonates on our darkest days. So as you look back on life and remember the music that strikes a chord with you, take a moment to look forward to your retirement. Will it be a time ripe with uncertainty? Or will it be a time of joy? If you're in a spot now where you don't think your current plan will deserve that kind of celebration when you reach retirement, then it's time to get a second opinion. Come visit with your financial advisors in Northwestern Ohio, Dan DiVerna and Tim Croak at Creative Financial Partners. Call 800-373-9715. 800-373-9715.
Time to get connected with the musical connection right here on the Financial Symphony.
On today's edition of the Financial Symphony, Mark Lloyd and I are going to talk about music, as we always do. This is Ron Stutz, and Mark, I hope you're doing well today.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the musical connection here. We continue our tribute to this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees by seeing what financial planning lessons we can learn from ELO. And I thought maybe we could take a few ELO song titles and apply them to the financial world. First of all, I want to say that the leader of Electric Light Orchestra and the guy, the inspiration behind it, is a guy by the name of Jeff Lynne, who's really popular and really talented. And I know him really well from his work with Traveling Wilburys.
That's right. He was a heck of a producer.
Today, let's talk about some of their particular songs when he was with ELO. What about Don't Bring Me Down? Probably more people know that one than any other.
Don't Bring Me Down. You know, and when you're talking about the markets, a lot of people who are retired or getting close to retirement, and we see folks like that all the time that have called into the show here, they might say something like this. Don't lose the money, Mark, or don't bring me down.
That's right.
In fact, we hear it all the time. People say things like, we're not interested in necessarily growing our investments anymore. We just want to make sure we don't lose what we already have.
Just don't lose my money for me.
Yeah. But the thing about it is you still have to grow the investments. Even though you might think I have just the right amount, there's something lurking called inflation. And if you are not still growing your money to beat inflation, you are losing money safely. So it's important, yes, it's very, very important. The closer we get to retirement, or if we're already retired, we have to manage the risk, which means we don't want to lose the money. Don't lose the money. Rule number one. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. It's simple. You don't want to go backwards, but you still have to grow. How do you do that? Well, there's definitely different types of investing strategies that are available in the marketplace today, some that manage your risk efficiently so that we make sure we don't let you get on the big roller coaster where you can lose money. You might be on the kiddie ride. There's some out there that are contractually guaranteed to protect you. The best thing you could do, though, is to learn. Take the time, take an hour, and learn about the different styles of investing that's out there so that when you're in retirement, you won't be saying, I'm down, don't bring me down.
Well, we're talking about Electric Light Orchestra today, better known perhaps as ELO. Remember when they did a version of Roll Over Beethoven?
Oh, I love that song. That was in the late 70s.
Yeah. Did a song called Telephone Line.
Yep.
And had a bunch of hits. And one song that was not a hit, but was one of their tunes, a song called When I Was a Boy. And, Mark, are you familiar with that? And secondly, if you are, what can we learn from that?
Well, I'm not as familiar with the song as just thinking back when I was a boy. You know, but sometimes it's easy actually to look back at an earlier place of your life that you might think as what we call the good old days, or some people call them the glory days, you know. Bruce Springsteen had a song called Glory Days, right?
Glory,
you remember that
days.
Song?
Yes, I
yep.
do.
Well, there was a glory days of investing, and wish things were like that now. You know, back in the day, we always used to be able to say, you could pretty much, you know, pick a stock, throw a dart at a dartboard, pick a stock, and know that you, winner, winner, chicken dinner, it was going to go up. That's not the case anymore, because we're in this global marketplace and we're in this 24-hour news cycle, and things travel fast in the news. If there's a bad earnings report for XYZ company, you're going to know about it instantly, and that stock is going to react instantly. It's not the good old days where we could just put our money away and just live off the dividends, because there's so many things that are going on out here putting stress on the marketplace. And also back in those days, interest rates were a lot higher. You know, remember when it was you could deposit money at a bank,
it
in a money market or a CD, paying 5, 6, 7, 8. And some of my retirees tell me, well, Mark, I remember back when CDs were 18%.
Yeah, me too.
Well, we also know inflation was about 20% back then.
That's right.
And everybody back in the old days had a pension, and most people didn't have to worry about outliving their money. But that is the opposite today. That's why we spend so much time here on the Financial Symphony talking about how do we make our money last. I did two educational classes last week. I just asked the audience, I said, what is your biggest financial concern? And both events, that by far, the biggest financial concern was outliving the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is so important to have a plan in place to show you how can we manage the cash flow? How can we get you a higher income? How can we get you some guaranteed income that you never, ever, ever have to worry about running out of money? You know, it's not the same old glory days, good old days anymore. Today you have to be more savvy, more educated, and a smarter investor. And we feel like that's what we do the best, help educate you on how to be that.
Bottom line is, back in the day, people used to have pensions. These days, they're on their own. Mm-hmm. And another song I want to ask you about, maybe you can draw some correlations from this, Living Thing. Remember that?
Yes, that's a good song. It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose.
That's exactly right.
You remember it's a giving thing.
You remember all the lyrics, too, don't you? You probably performed that song, haven't you?
I haven't, but I remember listening to it a million times. You know, it's a living thing. It's good to get a retirement plan framework in place. Mm-hmm. But you know what we tell all of our listeners as we put together plans for them?
What's that?
You know, their financial plan, their income plan, their financial roadmap. We tell them that it's going to change. Things are going to evolve. And you always need to be prepared to tweak things. And it makes sense because the markets are changing, the economy changes, taxes change. Your situation may change. Your health may change. Think about that. Doesn't it make sense to be working with someone that knows how to adapt to those changes and help you through those situations? I've told my clients many, many times through the years that it's, you know, what we're doing today is for the future. But what happens to you in the future is where the value comes in from what we did today. The things we've put in place today, it's going to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now that you're going to look back and say, whew, I'm glad we made those adjustments many, many years ago. Because that's when you know, that's when I feel like we receive our value. We know there's a purpose behind every recommendation we make and each tweak that we do, whether it be once a year or occasionally, those tweaks have a purpose. And you need to have a purpose-driven portfolio, a purpose-driven retirement plan, and you also need to be working with someone who is going to be there and help you each and every step of the way. So, folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to custom design an exclusive one-page financial review that will indicate if you're in need of a full-blown financial plan. There is no obligation, no cost for this initial review to all callers who call in the next 15 minutes. This easy to understand one page financial review will help you take the mystery out of financial planning by mapping out for you where you are now and offer suggestions of what you should be doing going forward. We'll also run a fee report to help you untangle what working with your current planner or advisor is actually costing you. By addressing your costs and fees, you will be able to see that by simply protecting your retirement investment and keeping more of your money in your accounts, you could notice your whole attitude towards retirement change for the better. We'll also perform a brief tax analysis to reveal how you could possibly reduce your taxes and increase your cash flow. We'll even create a customized lifetime income plan for you utilizing proven strategies and techniques which could turbocharge your retirement income and take the worry out of living in retirement. In short, we'll help you take the guesswork out of financial planning by helping you determine your retirement income by utilizing a technique we call solving for income. For all callers who call in the next 15 minutes, a comprehensive financial review that we are offering with no obligation. So give us a call right now, 800-373-9715. That's 800-373-9715.
Call now and get the process started for yourself. 800-373-9715. Once again, 800-373-9715.
It's time for a fireside chat as we get to know your local Financial Symphony maestro a bit better.
Well, it's getting to know you time right here on the Financial Symphony. This is that fun part of the show where we step away from the financial talk for a minute or two and ask some random questions. And every once in a while we get a kooky or off-the-wall question, and sometimes we get some more serious ones. And today's a good one, guys. I thought we'd break out the maybe prior job question. So outside of what you normally do in the financial services industry, what's been a very cool or unique job that you've had in your past? And Steve, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so back when I was in college that many years ago, I worked for a ice rink up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it was part of the Ann Arbor Parks and Rec Department. But for about a year or so, I drove a Zamboni up there. And it was, I can promise you, it was not nice. Because keep in mind who's playing at the Veterans Ice Arena in Ann Arbor. It's a lot of beer league hockey guys. And when you didn't do the ice perfectly right, which I did not do most of the time, they were not happy with you. So most of the time I was getting cursed at and waved off of the ice. But they kept me around for about a year or so, but I did that back in college. So I drove a Zamboni for about a year.
All right. That's pretty interesting. Rob, that's going to be tough to top. What have you got, buddy?
You know it is, man. I'll tell you, I'm going to take a little run for the money here for you. I used to be a DJ.
Oh, okay.
back in the day. So when I was in high school and into college, I took a loan of $2,000 from my parents, and I bought DJ equipment, and I started doing dances and fundraisers and that sort of stuff. And when I was in college, I got into the wedding business, which I don't know if you know anything about the wedding DJ business, but when I got married, I had a band at the wedding.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was that tired of, you know, seeing and hearing wedding DJs. So, but it paid my way through Ohio State, and I would say that was one of my more interesting jobs.
I imagine
and
you
folks,
see a lot of
he's still
stuff,
for
right?
hire today. If anyone out there is looking
please don't
for a DJ.
Don't call.
You got to break out that selection of songs that everybody wants to hear, right? I know you've got them still stored in your memory banks.
I have them in my memory, and then I also have the infamous list of don't play this at my wedding song. So we've got a lot of those too.
There you go. Well, since you've got some DJ skills, maybe we'll have to turn you loose and let you do some interviewing throughout the show along the way.
I'm going to give it a shot later on. So
yeah,
we'll
all right. There we go. We're gonna tap into your old potential and see what you still got.
Absolutely.
In the bank. There you go. All right, folks. Well, that's our getting to know you for this week. And hopefully that gives you a little bit more insight to the team, at least a couple of the guys there at Creative Financial Partners. And, of course, that was Steve Decker and Rob Davison. We'll be back with more financial talk, which is why you're here on the other side. We'll be right back.
I know it's only rock and roll and retirement, but I like it. Stay tuned to the Financial Symphony.
Well, you're listening to the Financial Symphony. Thanks for sticking around here today with us on the show. Mark Killian alongside of Steve Decker and Rob Davis of Creative Financial Partners. And we're certainly glad that you're spending your time with us today. And if you'd like to reach out to the team at Creative Financial Partners, it's very easy to do so. Just pick up your phone and give them a call, 800-373-9715. That's your number to call. All right, guys, it's request line time, and we've got some questions that have come in from around the area. So let's dive into a couple of these and see if we can help some folks out a little bit with some information. Our first one comes to us from Sam in Maumee. And Sam says, guys, I recently inherited an IRA from my mother and apparently have to take some money out of it each year. Should I take a little bit out each year or just take it all at once and invest it someplace else?
Well, Sam, let me first explain why you have to take money out of that each year. The IRS has a rule called the Required Minimum Distribution, or we refer to it as RMD a lot for short. And what that means is the year after that you turn 70 and a half, or by April 15th of the year after you turn 70 and a half, you have to start taking distribution from your retirement account. And if your mom passed away and she was over the age of 70 and a half, the IRS now says that you have to start taking out minimum distribution as well. However, there's a lot of different ways that you can take this out. There's some nice tables on the lovely IRS website that shows you, if you have an inherited IRA or a stretch IRA, what the percentage is that you have to take out each year. You don't have to take the whole thing out, although you can in a lot of cases, but the IRS says you have to take a little bit out to cover your minimum distribution from your mom's retirement account. So to answer your question, without proper planning, without really knowing what your situation is, we can't give you a real straight answer on this, but we can tell you that if you were to take the whole thing out and it is a sizable retirement account, your tax bracket is going to be affected dramatically. So that's something to take into consideration and something that we can help walk you through.
Yeah, you know, this is a pretty common question, and it's something you need to do right. And number one, you have to know your options. And so that's the first thing. You have to know your options. And if you don't think you're getting the whole story from whoever you're dealing with, make sure to really dig in and make sure you know all the options you have and all the ways you can take this, because it can make a big difference. You know, the other thing that we hear a lot is, gosh, I inherited this IRA. I'll just take the whole thing off. I'll pay my house off, and mom or dad or whoever will be really glad I did that. And that sounds like a great idea, but sometimes when you start, like Steve mentioned, you know, taking these big lump sums, doing things with large sums of money, especially with IRA accounts, taxes can be a big deal. So you decide to take all this money out in this year and pay your house off, you know, you might not have a house payment anymore. However, all of a sudden, you know, you're in the big boy tax bracket right now, and your tax rate just went from 25 to 39%, you know, or whatever it ended up being. So make sure you know your options, and make sure you are walking through the consequences and benefits of doing that.
A great question, Sam. We certainly appreciate it. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight, or at least some things to start thinking about. But ideally, go ahead and reach out to the guys and come in and sit down and really dive into this a little deeper and make sure that you're on the right path. 800-373-9715. That's your number to call. And again, thanks so much for the question, Sam. All right, guys, we're going to hop over to Ottawa Hills. We've got a question from Scarlett, and that's a great name. So Miss Scarlett says, I have long-term care insurance that we got a good deal on through my work, but I just found out that the cost is going to go up significantly, almost double. Should I just drop it, or is it worth keeping?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. The answer to that is probably not as simple as just dropping it or keeping it. The issue is long-term care insurance has gotten really expensive, number one, and there's also a lot of options, and I mentioned that before with Sam's question. There's a lot of options inside these policies that you probably don't know about, and you really want to know what your options are before you make a decision. There's usually an option that's not an all-or-none option. It's usually not keep the double the premium increase or go without long-term care insurance. There's usually a middle ground, and that's usually what people end up with. You know, the issue of long-term care policy premiums doubling is obviously kind of a crazy thing. And in fact, when you get the letter, you almost think they're joking. You know, how can your premiums double? But that unfortunately has happened to folks in the past, just based on, you know, long-term care rates that the insurance companies charge and how long people are living and how much care costs. And so it's unfortunately not uncommon for that to happen. So don't get scared and just say, gosh, I'm going to drop this. There might be another option. And if you need help walking through that policy or knowing what questions to ask that insurance company, come on in and we can give you a list of those things that you might want to take back to your agent or contact the insurance company with in order to make sure you are making the right decision.
Yeah, one thing I'll add to that is Rob is absolutely correct that almost all long-term care policies that I'm associated with or have seen through the last few years have had significant increases in them. And the reason for that is these insurance companies are starting to find out that, you know, way back when long-term care insurance started, that they didn't charge people enough in premium, and now healthcare costs have skyrocketed, so they're trying to pass it along through everyone. But I will tell you, along with premium costs, long-term care costs or assisted living costs are also very, very high. So where you may think that doubling your premium is insane, you know, give a look around and see how much it costs for a single room in Toledo, Ohio. You'll be amazed at how expensive it is. And even if your premium is pretty high, it is in nowhere comparison if you have to use long-term care sometime in the future.
Well, great question, Scarlett. We certainly appreciate it. And as with anything here on the radio, it's very difficult to get into specifics with some of these questions and some of these topics that we get in from around the area. So as always, make sure that you call and sit down and talk about your specific financial situation when trying to seek some advice, because it's just hard to get into too in-depth, I should say, here on the air in the time that we have. So give them a call, 800-373-9715. That's your number to call, 800-373-9715. And hopefully that helps shine some light for you and get you going in the right direction. And finally, guys, we've got time for just one more here, and this is from Milton in Deschler, and Milton says, we've never lived on a budget our entire lives, and my wife is very resistant to having a budget once we retire. But without a budget, how do we make sure that we won't run out of money 10 years or so before we die?
Believe it or not, Milton, even though that you don't think you've been on a budget, you kind of have, because you've been getting paychecks all along your working career. So even though it hasn't been a budget how you may traditionally think of it, you really have been, because you make X amount. You want to have your savings. You want to pay your bills. But after that, whatever's left, that can just kind of be used for liquidity. And when we look at retirement planning, that's where we start off. What are you bringing home right now? And can we continue that through retirement, through different income sources and whatever you've saved throughout retirement? So if we can make this simple transfer, apples to apples, where what you're bringing home now, we can create that income or replace that income with your different savings products, pensions, Social Security. That's our number one goal, because we don't want you to have to live on a budget when you're in retirement. That's not any fun. Who wants to do that? So we really try and just make a continuation of your lifestyle. Your paychecks just come from a different place now.
You know, Steve brought up the most important point, which is the planning aspect of all of this. You know, and I mentioned it before and I'll mention it again. You know, we are very client focused and planning focused here. We are not, you know, product pushers or product people here. So when you come in, you know, you can expect a different atmosphere and a different attitude than what you might have been experiencing in the past or even hear others talking about. So, you know, what we're trying to do with this show is do a little community outreach. We're trying to let you know who we are, what we do, kind of how we operate, what we're like. And we think that if you come in, you'll find us as easygoing in the office as we are on the radio. And I would encourage you to take the first step and call. You're going to hear things like, you know, free complimentary consultation if you call within the next 30 minutes or whatever. And frankly, you will get that, but you'll also get that if you call next week. The problem is, calling is the hardest part. It's the first step. It's easy. It's on your mind now. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Come on in. Learn about us. We'd love to learn about you. If it works out, great. If not, you'll still be glad you came in, and we promise you that.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself, and so I'll just make it simple and throw the number out there for folks and say, absolutely, pick up the phone and just take some action. It's always the hardest part. 800-373-9715. It's 800-373-9715. It's a great opportunity to make sure that you're on the right track, guys. Just come in, sit down, have a conversation, get to know them, let them get to know you, as Rob said, and just see where it goes from there. 800-373-9715. It's definitely easy to talk to these guys. They're a lot of fun, and you won't be disappointed. 800-373-9715. That's your number to call. And stick around. There is more Financial Symphony on the way with Rob and Steve. And we'll be back with some insights on the next segment. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Much like the musicians fine-tuning the acoustics of their instruments or analyzing the acoustics of a room before a performance, your financial maestro fine-tuned your financial plan to adapt to the ever-changing financial world. Don't settle for an advisor who offers a sales pitch and calls it a plan. Make sure you hit all the right notes in your financial plan. Come visit with your financial advisors in Northwestern Ohio, Dan Devona and Tim Croak at Creative Financial Partners. Call 800-373-9715. 800-373-9715.
You're listening to the Financial Symphony, striking the right chords in your financial plan.
Well, you're back here on the Financial Symphony. Thanks so much for sticking around here today on the show. Mark Killian along with Steve Decker and Rob Davis of Creative Financial Partners. And, of course, the Financial Symphony, well, this is the show that's all about helping people in retirement. And here on the show, we like to blend the worlds of music and finance together into a nice harmonious package, if you will, the perfect chord, if you will. And, of course, Creative Financial Partners and the team there can certainly help you strike that perfect chord anywhere in the Toledo and Northwestern Ohio area. So give them a call, 800-373-9715. It's 800-373-9715. Obviously, go ahead and pick up the phone and do it now if you'd like, but as long as you give them a call and come in and sit down, I guarantee that you'll have yourself a good time and you'll definitely learn something when you do. And guys, it's time for this week's insights here on the show. And today I thought we'd discuss annuity myths and let you guys talk a little bit about that and some of those myths that are out there that folks get a little scared of.
Yeah, Mark, we wanted to really hit on this because this is something that we talk about, you know, every day, every week with our clients. There's a lot of misconceptions and a lot of facts and a lot of non-facts about annuities out there. So we thought that we would take this right on and just dive in and give you some of our thoughts on and walk you through some of the good, bad, and the ugly here. And first, I'm going to start off, Rob, I'm going to ask you, can you kind of walk us through what the three basic types of annuities are?
Yeah, you know, the three most popular types of annuities that we see usually fall into one of three categories. The first being fixed, which is the most simplest category of annuity. And so this is a fixed annuity where there's really not a lot of moving parts. It is what it is. There's typically a guaranteed rate or an interest rate to the insurer insurance company will set, like 3 or 4 or 5% or whatever that number is. And it's the most simple. It's the most simple annuity. It's tax deferred. You get your interest, no big deal. The second annuity that's a little more complicated, that's kind of the in-between annuity, is called a fixed indexed annuity. And so the difference in the fixed indexed annuity is how the interest is credited. So instead of getting a guaranteed rate or declared rate of, let's say, 3%, your interest is credited based on an index, like the S&P 500, for example. So instead of a set rate, you're going to get a portion of an index credit. So if the index does good, you're going to get a portion of that. If the index does bad, and this is why these things are kind of popular, so if the index goes negative, you typically get a zero or a guaranteed floor on that.
Yeah, where I like to use these fixed index, or like to have lots of these discussions with my clients, is for someone who's looking for, you know, minimal losses, but they also want a little potential upside if the market goes up. Now, with these fixed index, you're never going to make 30% with these. If the market goes up, you're going to make a little bit, but you're never going to make the full spread of the market. That's kind of the caveat here. But traditionally with these also, if the market goes down, you know, you're not going to go down either.
Yeah, the third annuity is kind of for the folks that are really looking for the bigger return or the stock market type return, and that's a variable annuity. So instead of anything fixed or guaranteed, what you're getting as far as a return on these things is an investment return linked to the subaccounts in the annuity. So just like your mutual funds or your 401k options, whatever asset mix you pick, that's going to dictate what your return is. And it can be really good in real good years. Likewise, it can be really bad in real bad years. So that's something to look out for too. The types of annuities are definitely risk-based. So if you're very risk-averse, there's annuities for that type of person. And if you're saying, gosh, I really want the risk, I really want to make a lot of money, you can make sure you may be suitable for a variable product or something like that.
Yeah, and one thing that I'll kind of add to this annuity mix here is what makes a lot of these attractive is some of the available riders that come with these contracts. And a lot of times there can be income riders on there or death benefit riders that really make these things attractive to a lot of clients. But you really need to make sure you know what you're getting before you get into one of these contracts. Okay, so now we've kind of covered the basics. Now let's talk about something that's always fun, and that's the fees that are involved with a lot of these annuities. And let's really break these down as best as we can without getting super specific.
Yeah, so just basically the traditional fixed annuity is the one where there's probably not a fee. So there's not a fee associated with the annuity. You're not going to get charged a management fee or something like that. It's almost like, you know, you go to the bank and get a savings account or a CD. There's a fixed rate. You don't pay the bank a fee directly for that type of thing. So for fees, that's the lowest. The indexed annuities are typically no fee or low fee. The thing you have to realize about that is, Steve mentioned the riders. If you start tacking riders onto these can add fees. So, you know, you might take something that's no fee and turn it into something that has a 2% fee on. So you have to be careful with that. The other thing is, on the indexed products, like Steve mentioned, you don't get all the upside. So there might not be a fee on it, but there could be a cap or a spread or a participation rate or one of these words that you're not sure what they mean. What that means is your upside is limited, and this tells you kind of how much that's limited. You know, the other one is the variable annuity, which is, again, the more complicated, more risky version, and that has potentially a lot of layers of fees. There's M&E fees or mortality fees. There's admin fees. There's rider fees. There could even be fees associated with the subaccounts. So the variable annuity, you have to look real closely at the fees, especially because there could be so many layers of them.
And we're not trying to say that all fees are bad here. What we're trying to get across is just make sure you know what you're getting. You know, if a death benefit is important to you, yes, there's death benefits you get at, but you're going to pay for those. If a guaranteed income stream is important to you, yes, you can get those. Those are available, but you're going to pay for those as well. My former mentor used to describe it as walking into a candy shop. You can kind of get whatever you want, but everything you put in your cart, it's going to cost you a little bit more. So one thing that we're really passionate about here is making sure that you understand exactly what you have and exactly what you're paying for. Okay, in closing here, what everyone out there is dying to know, Rob, is, are annuities good or bad, and are they good for me?
Yeah, you know, that's a question we get all the time. I heard about annuities, or we have clients or folks we're helping look up annuities online, and there are so much information. They're good, they're bad, they're great, they're terrible. I like to say annuities are more like, for us, They're more like our just another tool in our tool belt. So we're not out there just using one tool. We're not using a hammer to solve every single situation. We have screwdrivers and hammers and saws and drills and all kinds of stuff. For us, an annuity is just one of those tools. So, you know, if what you have is all of your money wrapped up into one thing or one annuity, that's probably a red flag, and we should probably have a discussion about that because that's probably not the best thing. Furthermore, if you're talking to someone and they want to put all your assets into one thing, an annuity or something else, probably need to have a discussion with that too, because very slim situations, this one tool fix all problems. So, you know, make sure you are aware of everything you have, make sure that you're comfortable with everything, and make sure you understand everything.
Yeah, so guys, it sounds like, you know, when it comes to annuities, there's a lot of information to take in. You alluded to that. There's obviously myths, there's false information, there's correct information, and folks are just generally wondering if it's right for them or not. And I think, as you put it, and it was very well said, that it's not always for every situation, but it's another tool in the tool belt. So really kind of learning and getting education is a great start. And, of course, you can kind of get information overload if you're not careful by looking around on the Internet. But also just coming in and sitting down and talking with a professional is going to be a great way to kind of solve some of these questions for yourself specifically, correct?
Yeah, you know, we are a fully independent firm, so we don't work for a bank, we don't work for an investment company, we don't work for an insurance company. You know, we work for our clients, and one thing you can be sure when you walk in, you know, for that appointment is that we're not in favor or against any certain thing. You know, we want to make sure your product mix and your asset mix is appropriate for you and what you're trying to do. And like I said before, you know, call the 800 number, get an appointment, come on in. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We're not going to try to push you up from one way or the other. We just want to have a conversation, and you can learn if you want to work with us. We can learn if we want to work with you, and we'll move forward, and we'll do a good job for you.
All right. Well, here's your number, folks. It's 800-373-9715. It's 800-373-9715. And that's been this week's insights, as the guys talked about annuity myths. They broke out the A word this week on the show and had a good conversation about that. So there's a lot to learn, a lot to know, but the biggest thing is don't be afraid to get some education and get some information. And as always, the first step is always the hardest part. So go ahead and give Steve Decker and Rob Davis of Creative Financial Partners a call, 800-373-9715. With an office in Perrysburg and Toledo, they can certainly help you out anywhere in the northwestern Ohio area. 800-373-9715. All right, folks, stick around. We've got one more segment to go here on the Financial Symphony, and we've got a guest on the show, and we're going to talk a community connection. We're going to maybe talk about health and fitness when we come back on the other side, right here on the Financial Symphony.
Timing is everything, in music as well as in life. Having the right tempo and rhythm helps all the musicians and the conductor lock into place and ensures a smooth and steady performance. The same can be said for your financial future, where timing is everything. Having the right person to guide you through your financial concerto can make all the difference. Timing and tempo in life, in music, and in retirement is everything. Come visit with your financial advisors in Northwestern Ohio, Dan DiVerna and Tim Croak at Creative Financial Partners. Call 800-373-9715. 800-373-9715.
The Financial Symphony is reaching its crescendo. Your local financial maestro is coming up next.
Well, we're moving down the home stretch here on the Financial Symphony, and certainly appreciate your time today on the show. And we've got a great segment here for folks listening today. We're going to have a guest come in. We've got a guest every week here on the show, but we're going to have another guest from Creative Financial Partners. And, of course, we've been talking with Steve Decker and Rob Davis today on the show, and Steve's left us for now, and we've replaced Steve Decker with another Decker. So we've got his brother Bill, who's going to come in and have a conversation. I'm going to turn it over to Rob, and Rob, since you talked about your DJing skills earlier in the show, I'm going to let you take over and roll from there and see if you can still do it. You can take my job from me.
All right, I'll give it a shot today. Hey, right. We do have a very special guest today, Bill Decker. If Bill sounds familiar, if his voice sounds familiar, it's because he is actually the brother of Steve. So we do have some nepotism going on here at the office. And one thing, Mark, you mentioned is that Steve has left the room. He's actually out in the hallway, and Bill has him doing push-ups this whole segment. So if you hear some moans,
five more, let's go.
If you hear some moans or groans, that's probably what it is. So
the brothers are good for that, right?
They are. So hey, Bill is joining us today. We thought new year, a lot of resolutions going on financially and physically. So obviously we've got a great connection with Bill. He's a personal trainer at Fitz's studio in Toledo, which is kind of on the corner of Sylvania and Talmadge over there. Most people know kind of where that is in town. So great to have Bill. I'm going to ask him a couple questions, and you get to learn a little bit more about him and kind of what he does in the community and what he does for folks. So we'll just kind of go. So Bill, thank you very much for coming. Tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do a little more specifically than just personal trainer, and tell us where you do it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it. I'm really pumped to be here. See what I did there?
I did. Right. I did. And if you were going to pick a good day to come into the office and you were female, today would be a good day because Bill's in here and his muscles are basically busting out of his shirt now. So this is a good scenario.
I was doing a bunch of push-ups in the bathroom beforehand, so I just wanted to clarify that first.
It's radio, not TV. No one's going to see.
Well, I didn't know that until I got here. Okay. Thanks again. I work over at Fitz Personal Training. It's on Central Avenue and kind of in the Ottawa Hills region. I've been there for about 10 years. I'm a certified trainer through AFA. That's the Aerobics and Fitness Association of America. It's a accredited agency. And so, I've been there for about 10 years. It's a great place to work. It's not really work, but it's a lot of fun. We do all one-on-one personal training there, so it's a very client-based place to be. So that's fits in really well with being here with their financial firm.
Yeah, and Fitz has been around. That studio has been around for a long time. I know Bill's been doing this for 10 years. What makes that studio and what you do different from the other gyms? Because there, you drive down any street in town, there's gyms, there's fitness centers, there's personal trainers. Kind of what do you do that sets yourself apart, and what does that studio have to offer that sets them apart?
Yeah, Dan Fitzer, he's the proprietor of the studio. He's been there for about 30 years, so he's been in business a long time, steady business. And, what drives us apart from the competition is really our ability to offer such a personal service to other people. It's a private studio. It's not a big mega gym atmosphere, not to take away from anything from those other places. They definitely have their value. But what we offer is a all one-on-one personal service that we really are client-focused on. So, when we get people to come in, first, what we usually do is offer them a biomechanical test first, kind of tell us where they are, what their limitations are, what their abilities are. And from there, we start to build up a personal exercise prescription based on, what they want to do, and what kind of timeline they have, what their, limitations are, injuries, things like that. It's, we really build things up based on the clientele, and that's what really sets us apart.
That is great, because the way that we've evolved as an office has been a very, very personal one-on-one, client-friendly, first-focused approach, and it sounds like, Bill, you do the same thing. So when people are on the lookout for a trainer, what do they want to look for? Like, what would be a couple of main things they want to look for in a personal trainer, and why is that?
I would say probably the number one thing to look for and to look out for in a trainer when looking to choose somebody is empathy. Most times when I see people that get into the industry, men and women, what they do is they find a way, program or a certain technique or something that works really, really well for them. And then they kind of just get in and say, okay, hey, now I'm going to be a trainer and I'm going to teach other people how to do that. And that just doesn't work. I mean, what works for you may not work for what everybody else wants to do, So quite often, when we get clients that come in and say, hey, I had a bad experience with a trainer before. I'm not sure I want to get into this. What we do to ease their mind is say, hey, what we can do is, we're going to build something up for you. Now, what I ask somebody else to do may not be something that I would do personally for me, but that's, the entire point of the personal part. It's not about me. We have a complete lack of narcissism when we're at the studio, and it's all about, what our client wants to do, how they want to accomplish it. And that's what has helped us stay in business and be successful all these years is that we are so client-focused, and, that's what really helps us out is that, we have have a really solid amount of empathy for all of our clients, you know, so I can have a kid who is a 15-year-old basketball player who wants to get better at, you know, lateral movement, or I can have an 89-year-old woman that just wants to have better bone density and doesn't want to fall down the stairs, and we can meet all those different scripts, and that's because we're not trying to make anybody do what we would do personally.
So it's real focused on their goals and what they want to accomplish. How do you keep folks motivated for their goals? Because I'm sure, you know, we're sitting here first part of the year, everyone has, you know, gosh, I want to get in shape, I want to lose weight, I want to get stronger, I want to tone this, I want to do that. That works good for a little bit, and I'm speaking from experience here, Bill. So, you know, you're really good, you're really ready to go, you're raring to go for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden the motivation kind of declines. What can you guys do, or what do you do to keep people motivated?
I mean, you said it right there. I mean, it's goals. It's, you know, two things that really stand out that are, you know, equal in importance. I mean, you know, having a goal to work towards, and then attitude. I know it sounds, you know, cheesy and corny, you know, to have a positive attitude to get into this. You know, but you can wake up and you make the choice to be positive or negative when it comes to, you know, wanting to do your workout or wanting to eat healthy, you know, or whatever your goal is requiring of you. You got to make that choice. You got to make the choice to be positive about it, and like everything else will follow. You know, if you have a good attitude about your workout or your nutrition or anything else in life and you make a good decision about it, the other parts will follow easy. The mental part is the hardest one to get over first. You know, so if you wake up and you have a good attitude, you're going to work towards your goal, you're going to practice your virtue of integrity when working towards these goals, then everything else will be easy, and you'll be amazed how motivated you will be when you work towards those things and you start to see those results. That's what really makes a difference in people that stick with it and do well and people that drop out after the first week.
Awesome. You know, you mentioned a couple other things, you know, other services. What else do you do in the studio other than personal training, if anything? And kind of going along with that, what do you have to offer? How can people get in contact with you? Like, what's the process to getting started? You know, with us, it's calling the 1-800 number and getting on our schedule. Like, what's the process? What's the hardest step, which is usually the first step to take? What do you guys offer? How can we get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, check out our website for one. It's fitzfitness.com, P-F-I-T-Z, fitness.com. On there, you know, it says a lot of the different things that we offer to do, like our mobile fitness on the move program, which is really cool. That's all laid out right there. It's better to see it than me talk about it. Or you can call the studio. I mean, we're at 419-536-8808. You can call there, leave a message. We'll call you right back, and we can get you to come in and check the place out. And, you know, we'd be happy to help, you know, anybody that's, you know, serious about getting into it.
Awesome. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for coming in. Sorry you had to endure your brother here for a little bit. I hope he's done with his push-ups. I think I've stopped seeing movement out there for the last couple minutes. So he's
You're dead yet?
He's probably pretty worn out. You know, this is something that makes us a little bit different as a financial firm, and this show a little bit different, is it's not all about us. You know, it's about the community. It's about you. And, you know, we'd love to have the listeners take a step back, decide if there's something. There's usually one thing that they've always wanted to talk to somebody about, or one thing they don't think's doing very well, or one thing, you know, in their financial world that they just have some questions about. So now's a good time to give us a call, to come on in, meet us, learn a little bit more about what we're about, but also, you know, spend a lot of time on you. Just like, you know, Bill spends time on his clients building their physical lives, we spend a lot of time with our clients building their financial lives. So no obligation, no pressure. Come on in. Let's have a conversation and see if we can work together.
Well, great job there, guys. Certainly appreciate Bill. Appreciate your time on the show. And Rob, pretty good job DJing there as well, having the hosting duties.
I did it okay.
Yeah, you did.
Not as good as you. I'm out of practice.
That's all right. Well, you know, folks, we'll bring it around full circle here and say, you know, one of the great things about doing the show and offering some of the different segments that we do, like the community connection here where we brought in a fitness expert, is that, you know, as we get older, you know, being healthy physically and financially really kind of go hand in hand. And I know as we get older and later in life, we think, oh, I don't want to exercise, but you know, if you think about it from a financial standpoint, the healthier you are and the better shape that you're able to keep yourself in and the better that you're able to eat, You know, you might can handle some of those financial challenges better, like long-term care and so on and so forth. Maybe keeping those things away, if you will. So as always, it's a great time to just not procrastinate and get up off the couch or get up out of the chair or wherever you might be and grab the phone and give a call and just say, you know what, I want to get going in the right direction, both physically and financially. And the team at Creative Financial Partners can certainly help you accomplish that. So give them a call, 800-373-9715. That's 800-373-9715. It's a great way to get started. And, of course, if you're interested also in reaching out to Bill Decker, I'm sure they can help you with that information as well. But to get yourself going down the right path or the right road towards retirement and get that comprehensive financial review, absolutely complimentary with no obligation, make sure you call Steve Decker, Rob Davis, and all the team there at Creative Financial Partners in the Northwest Ohio area, in the Toledo and Perrysburg area. 800-373-9715. And Rob, thanks so much for being on the show this week. I know Steve's probably in the other room huffing and puffing from all of his push-ups, but tell him thanks for being here with us as well.
Hey, thanks, Mark. I'll rush out and give him some water right away.
All right. Well, folks, make sure you tune in each and every week right here on the Financial Symphony to learn a little bit more and talk with the guys from Creative Financial Partners right here on the Financial Symphony. Bye-bye.